John 21, we'll begin reading at verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. We find in the beginning of John 21 an appearance of Jesus to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. He appears to them as Peter and some of the others had returned to fishing. And now we see that Jesus dines with them and speaks to Peter. So he said, we begin reading at verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Our text this morning is verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. There are many qualifications that a man must have to serve in the special offices in the Church of Jesus Christ. Find a list of those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and also in Titus 1. We take those qualifications very seriously. We do because we understand that God has given in His Word those qualifications so that through that the men of His choosing would be installed and ordained into the special offices in the church. When the nomination process is done and the elders and deacons are looking to nominate men for the offices, they look at those qualifications. And also when the voting is done by the men of the congregation, we ought to be looking as men at those qualifications. Who has these qualifications? And most fully, it's not that the other men don't, but that there are other men who don't have those qualifications. We understand even in regard to those qualifications that some are stronger in different areas than others in regard to them. And the men of the church know that, so that even when they receive a letter of nomination, they would question whether or not they have those qualifications to serve in those offices. As important as all of those qualifications are, we find in the text this morning that there is one qualification that is indispensable and necessary, completely necessary, that a man have this to serve in the offices in the church. That doesn't make the other qualifications unnecessary. That doesn't mean that a man may serve in the offices without some of those other qualifications. But if those other qualifications are to be a benefit to that man, he must have this qualification. If he doesn't have this qualification, he will not be a blessing to the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, a man without this qualification will make a mess of the church, because in the end, he's only going to be in that office for himself. But the men who have this qualification will be of good use in the church of Jesus Christ. What is that qualification? The qualification set before us in the text is love for Jesus. For a man to serve in the church, he must have a love for Jesus. That must be his focus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a word for all of us. That doesn't mean the others of us here don't have to have that. No, certainly we do. As believers in Jesus Christ, we love Jesus Christ. But Jesus here points out in this discourse with Peter that what is fundamental for Peter, if he's going to be used in the service of the church going forward, is that he love Jesus above all else. We know how important love is as well. This isn't the only passage that emphasizes the importance of love. We find that also in 1 Corinthians 13, the outstanding passage on love, which says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." That essentially is what Jesus Christ is saying to us in this passage. And may the Lord use this passage then this morning to strengthen our office bearers in their love for Jesus, and may this strengthen us as a congregation in our love for Jesus. We look at this text under the theme then, the chief qualification of Christ's office bearers. The chief qualification of Christ's office bearers. You look first at what it is, and that it is love for Jesus. Secondly, how it is shown. The way it's shown is in the feeding of the flock. And secondly, then, the answer that Peter gives, that he does love Jesus. What we see in this text is that Jesus restores Peter to his office, to the office of being a disciple, to being an apostle, to being a preacher and a ruler in the church of Jesus Christ. This was needed because Peter essentially was suspended from his office. If we put it in the terms of the church today, he essentially was suspended from his office because he denied Jesus three times. And it's important for us to understand something about Peter's denial to understand why Jesus says what he says to Peter here in the passage. You remember Peter's fall. You remember Peter's sin. His denial of Jesus three times. The root of that fall of Peter was his self-confidence and his pride. That started before the time when Peter denied Jesus. If you turn back to John 13, we see it began even then. Remember in John 13, that's the passage where Jesus washes his disciples' feet and sets an example for his disciples about how they were to serve each other and others. Jesus drives that home in verse 34 when he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now Peter, he responds to that. He responds to that, though, in the awareness of what Jesus said just before that. Jesus talked about going somewhere and saying the disciples could not go where he is going. So Peter says in the next verse, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And now Peter says unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." We see there Peter's self-confidence. We see there Peter's pride. He's saying, "Jesus, I've heard your commandment. I'm to love you. And I do. I love you more than anything else. And I'm willing even to lay down my life for you." And then what does Jesus say to him? "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Even though Jesus rebukes Peter, we certainly imagine that Peter continued to think that Jesus was wrong, and that he would never deny Jesus, and that he was willing to lay down his life. He had convinced himself that that was true. And then, hours later, when Peter is asked about his relationship to Jesus, Peter denies Jesus three times. He says, "I don't know the man. I do not know what you're talking about. I'm not his disciple." Peter knew, after that, that he didn't deserve to be in a disciple of Jesus Christ any longer. We know at the moment, when his eyes met Jesus' eyes, he was ashamed of what he had done. But now, Peter understood he didn't deserve to be a disciple. How do we know that? Well, if we look at the beginning of John 21, where was Peter? He was fishing. He was fishing. He returned back to the old occupation. He knew he didn't deserve to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was suspended from his office. But in the text, Jesus reinstates Peter to his office, which is evident from the command that Jesus gives to Peter when he says, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep." We see here in the passage that Jesus is calling Peter to follow him. That was how Jesus originally called Peter and the other disciples into the office of being a disciple and teacher. He said, "Follow me." Now, essentially, Jesus is saying that same thing again, but that happens through the dialogue that takes place between Jesus and Peter. And we want to focus especially on the question that Jesus asks Peter three times. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" That's an important question. An important question that comes this morning as well to the office bearers of the church. But first, let's understand what Jesus is asking here. It's important to note in this passage that you have both of the New Testament words for love. There's a play on that word here in the passage. There are two New Testament words for love. In Jesus' first two questions, he uses that stronger word for love, agape love. He's asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Agape. That's the term that's used there. Remember that this term is always used for God's love. That's a term you have in John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's the term you have in 1 John 4, verse 8, when we read that God is love. Always, when the Scriptures refer to God's love in the New Testament, it uses this term, agape. This term shows that love is a bond. It's a bond of perfectness. It's a decision that God makes. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions first and foremost, but instead God. He loves himself. He loves his people because he's chosen to love his people from all eternity. And he loves them with a perfect and unchanging love that's as conscious, unending choice and decision to love His people. And that's the word that's also used in the Scriptures to command us to love God and to love Jesus Christ. And now that's the term that Jesus uses here with Peter. Peter, do you love me? But there's the other word for love that's found here. And that word is found in Peter's answer. He doesn't use the same term as Jesus. He uses the other term, phileo, which has the idea of brotherly love. Philadelphia, that city of brotherly love, gets that name from that Greek term. And that term focuses more on the affections and the feelings of love. So that Peter is saying, yes, Jesus, I love you. But he doesn't use that stronger word for love. So we look at the dialogue between the two of them and the understanding of those two different words. Verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agape thou me, more than these? And then Peter responds, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I, phileo, I love thee. And then verse 16, Simon, lovest thou me, agape? And Peter responds, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. And then verse 17, Jesus changes, and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me. And then Peter responds with that same term again. Jesus is asking Peter if he loves him with the highest love, and Peter responds with that lesser word for love. Why? What's the point? Well, it's related to what happened earlier. It's related to John 13 when Jesus gave that commandment there to love one another because they love Him and they love God. Jesus is reminding Peter, Peter, you once boasted that you love me more than all the other disciples. And that's the idea of the first question there. Lovest thou me more than these? Some commentators might say that Jesus raising his hands and talking about the fishing boats and the fish that maybe they had caught and the Sea of Galilee and all the food that they had there at that dinner. That wasn't that. Jesus had in mind the other disciples. You said, Peter, you love me more than all of these disciples. What do you have to say now? You once boasted of this. You love me more than these. And Peter responds with that word, phileo, that lesser word for love, because he's humbled. He knows how far short he's fallen in loving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not boasting at this time. And so we see the importance then of that question that Jesus asked Peter. The point is that we see here is that Peter must love Jesus to be reinstated in the office that he had, and so also the office bearers in the church must have a love for Jesus. Love for Jesus is the fundamental qualification for a minister, elder, and deacon in the church. If these men who are installed this morning don't love Jesus, they must not and they may not serve in the offices. That's what Jesus is pointing out here with this question. He puts the question to the office bearers and really to every one of us this morning. Do we love Him? Do we love Jesus more than anything else? That's an important word for office bearers. The word for office bearers this morning is a reminder that the work of the offices is not about me. It's not about self. It's not about my agenda. It's not about the things that I think ought to be done within the church. And that I'm going to get some things done in the church. It's not about me. But instead, the word says it's about love for Jesus Christ. It's devotion to Christ, seeking Christ, wanting to do the work of Jesus Christ, serving Him in the work that is given. So that's the question for us this morning. Do we love Jesus with that love? Really, with agape love? That's the question. Do we walk with Jesus as our friend? Do we count Him to be our best friend and the one that will guide us and lead us in all the work that we must do? Do we desire the office even? It's good to desire the office, but do we desire the office because we desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how we show that love, by doing His work. The idea here is that this is the motive for the work of the office bearer. What truly motivates the office bearer in his work is love for Jesus Christ. Without that, the work becomes a burden. It becomes unenjoyable. It becomes awful, really. It becomes drudgery. It's tedious. We have to remember that, men. When you have to go out on a sick visit, why do we do that? Because we love Jesus. When after a busy day of work and you have to go out on family visits, or after a busy day of work you have to do some deacon's work and visit others in the church and visit the widows and the widowers of the church, what motivates us in those times to do that work when we're tired and exhausted from the work that we have, from the work that God's given to us? What motivates us is love for Jesus. When it's late at night and there are many meetings that we have, what motivates us to do that work? Love for Jesus. Just as Jesus put this question to Peter, so he puts it to all the office bearers of our church. And we must see and understand this morning, Jesus is worthy of our love. That's evident from the timing of all of this. The timing is that our resurrected Savior appears to Peter and the other disciples. Our resurrected Savior appears to them, and He appears to us this morning with the same question. Remember, He arose from the dead. That says He finished the work that God gave Him to do. Jesus, this one who asked the question, is our Savior. He's the one who bore the punishment for our sins, and He bore it in full. And now He says to us, "Do you love Me?" And He's worthy of that love because He is our Savior. He's worthy of that love because He is, remember, the Son of God, who knows all things. That's what Peter himself confesses. "Lord, You know. You don't have to ask, You know. You're the Son of God." So also we see in this that our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of our love because He's the Son of God. We read it this morning. What's the summary of the entire law? Love. Love the Lord thy God with heart and mind and soul and strength. That includes love Jesus with heart and mind and soul and strength. He's worthy. He's our exalted, risen Savior who rules over the church from heavenly glory. It's important to understand this. It's important for the office bearers to understand this because of the difficulty of the work. The work can be demanding and tiresome and discouraging and sacrificial. For 3 years, men in our church give themselves in this important work. There are times that the men don't feel like doing it, or there are certain aspects of the work that aren't as enjoyable as others. As I said earlier, there are different qualifications that men have that are strengths for them and others that are weaknesses for them. And the areas that are weaknesses, those areas aren't necessarily the enjoyable part of the work. There'll be a temptation then in certain aspects of the work not to want to do that work, to procrastinate, to put off some of that work. Maybe not to call someone because you know how their response is going to be. Or to kind of throw up our hands and give up. When we're meeting with someone and working in a difficult situation, you understand that some people will be upset with you. And you're going to have to go on visits after a busy day of work. And you're going to have to sacrifice less time with your family, less time with your wives. And that's part of it. There's a word here for the wives of the office bearers and the children of the office bearers too. For sacrifice on your part. Giving of your husband, giving of your father, so that he can do the work of Jesus Christ. And why do you do that? Because you love Jesus Christ. Why do these men do it? Because they love Jesus Christ. And that's an important word for us this morning as office bearers, really for all of us, because we battle a great enemy within us. That enemy is selfishness. But we make it to be about ourselves. We can feel sorry for ourselves in the work. Or we can think that I know the right way if everybody else would just listen to me and what I say is right. We have to battle against that too to remember, no, it's all about doing the work of Jesus Christ. Loving Him. How is that love for Jesus Christ shown? Well, Jesus teaches us that in the text when He gives the charge to Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. This is the very charge that comes to the office bearers of the church today. Feed the church. Feed the flock. Now, what's striking here in the text, too, is that there are two different words in the original that are used for that word feed, as we have it here in the King James Version. In verses 15 and 17, the word means feed. In verse 16, that word means to shepherd. So it's a broader word referring to all of the work that a shepherd does in the care of the sheep. So we see here that Jesus Christ is commanding the office bearers in the church, the elders, deacons, and pastor, that they must care for all of the spiritual needs of the flock. And the way I like to look at it this morning is looking first briefly at the work of the elders and the charge to them and the charge to the deacons and even the charge to pastor. God has appointed the elders of the church to care for the flock. We read of that specifically in Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. We read there, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." To shepherd that flock. That's the calling of the elders. For the elders to do this, they must know the congregation. They must know the strengths and the weaknesses of the church and be aware of those. They must be aware of the struggles of the members of the church, of all the members of the church. And so the elders must make work at getting to know the members of the church, knowing their needs so that they can know how to care for them with the Word of God. Not only that, but there are different ways that elders do this. They get to know the people of the church by being involved in the church, in conversations after church, by hospitality that they show to others, by attending the Bible studies of the church, and especially by conducting family visitation when they go into the homes of the church to learn of the spiritual struggles there and to encourage with God's Word. That's the second thing we notice about that work. The work of the elders and really all the work of the office bearers in feeding the flock is a work of bringing the Word. By the Word, the flock is fed and guided and corrected and protected. And so the elders are called as well to bring the Word to the sheep. And when they bring the Word to the sheep, they're bringing not their own Word, but they're bringing the Word of the Good Shepherd Himself to the sheep in their hurts and struggles. And so the elders do that from home to home. Especially, one of the qualifications of the elders is that he be apt to teach. There's teaching that an elder does by bringing the Word of God, taking the truth of God's Word, and then applying it to the circumstances of the lives of the sheep. Another way in which the elders do that is by their oversight of the preaching of the gospel within the church. We read of that this morning in the forum, that the elders are the overseers of the minister and of the preaching. And they are to make sure that the truth is taught in the church, that that's being proclaimed from the pulpit, and that it's being brought to bear upon the lives of the sheep, so that the sheep are being fed with the truth of God's Word. So the elders this morning are charged by Jesus Christ Himself, feed the sheep and feed the lambs. That's the charge that comes to the deacons as well this morning. The feeding that they do is a bit more specific. They're charged with caring for the widows and the widowers in the church especially. They're charged with helping those who are struggling financially to make ends meet and to care for them. And we remember what the forum told us this morning as well, that their work is not just a physical work of bringing alms to those who are in need, but especially there to bring comforting words from the Scripture. They're to feed the flock. Feed members of the flock that are hurting and struggling by bringing the word to them. Not just reading a passage, but explaining the truth of it and bringing it to bear upon the particular struggles and circumstances of their lives so that the people are comforted and admonished and shown the way in which they are to walk. Jesus says to the deacons, "Feed my sheep and lambs." And certainly that's the calling of pastor. As he used to be busy in the Word, preaching the Word from the pulpit week by week, and bringing that Word as well to God's people who are hurting. God's people are cared for with the Word. And so it's the Word that must be brought. You see here as well that Jesus calls the office bearers of the church to feed the entire flock. It's not just the sheep, but also the lambs. Christ views the church from that perspective, that the lambs are part of the church. The church is made up of believers and their children, their seed. That means, too, that the elders in their work and the deacons and pastor must not neglect the lambs of the church. The children and young people must be taught. Jesus says that here. They must be cared for in their hurts and struggles too. Parents do that, but also office bearers in the church must do that. That's done especially in the catechism classes. That's done in young people's society. That's done in the Sunday school, as that's even overseen by the elders in the church. It's important that the lambs and the sheep be fed by the truth of God's Word. That's an important word for the office bearers. That means, as office bearers, we must not neglect any of the members of the church. We must not neglect them. There's a warning here for us. We must not be lazy here. We must not neglect members that maybe are not so desirable members in our own eyes. We must love all the members because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a warning here as well to the office bearers that we must make sure it's our responsibility that the flock is not starved, or that we kill the flock with false doctrine and false teaching that would be allowed to come in. We must not be focused on ourselves. When we become focused on ourselves, that's going to hurt the flock. You see the focus here. The focus of the office bearer's work is first on Jesus, and when that focus is on Jesus, the focus is on the flock as well. Not on self, not on my own feelings, not on what I want, but on what Jesus says and what's best for His people. There is an important connection between love for Jesus and feeding the flock that's made by Jesus when He calls the office bearers to feed the sheep and the lambs. We see this morning that the church is Christ's. The sheep and the lambs belong to Jesus Christ. They've been given to Jesus Christ by God from all eternity. They've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ has been given to dwell in the hearts of the sheep and the lambs of the church. And this is what unifies the church together. And now Christ so loves the church that He's given office bearers to feed and shepherd the flock. And for those who love Christ, will love His church. That goes with it. The indispensable qualification is love for Jesus. When there's a love for Jesus, there's a very real love for the church, for the members of the church. Even with all their sins and in all of their weaknesses, we must, as office bearers, display the love of Jesus Christ for the flock. Christ uses elders, deacons, and pastors to display that love of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, how do we answer? Men in the offices, what's our answer? People of the church, what's your answer to this question too? We all face it this morning. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Notice Peter's answer. Peter's answer was a beautiful answer. But remember, Peter's answer was not agape love. It wasn't the strong word for love that he uses. He uses the lesser word for love, phileo love. He does love Jesus, but the reason Peter answers the way that he did is because he's been humbled. He understands that his love is not what it ought to be. He said earlier that he believed that he had a love for Jesus that was greater than all of the other disciples. He was proud. He was lifted up. He was self-confident. That's why he answers here the way that he does. But I believe that what Jesus was getting at with the question was, the answer ought to be agape. Agape. That love. The love of God Himself that's been worked in our hearts by Jesus Christ. That's the love that we ought to have and we do have for God and for our Savior, Jesus Christ. That must be our answer this morning. Not in the self-confidence of Peter earlier, not in pride in saying, I've got it all figured out, but in the humility with which Peter answers this. This is the love I have, but it's not perfect. It's not perfect right now. It will not be perfect here on this earth. There's still so much selfishness within me. There's still so much sin within me. I don't love Jesus like I should. I understand that. But Jesus' point is that we are to love Him with this love. A love that serves. A love that obeys. A love in which there's a conscious decision in every moment to love and serve Jesus Christ in the work that He has given us to do. Not with some kind of emotional love that's up and down, not with just affection, but a fervor and passion in this love in which we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in our work. Peter's answer then is beautiful from that perspective. It deals with the reality of the imperfection of our love for Jesus Christ. But here's one thing that's beautiful, office bearers, and you will find, and ask anybody who's served in the offices, that through the work of the offices, as difficult as it may be sometimes, there is that growth in our relationship with God and our love for Jesus Christ. That's something we should be praying for our office bearers, that they would grow in that love for Jesus Christ. Secondly, Peter's answer is beautiful because of the ground of his answer. This answer of Peter, and when she says, confesses that he loves Jesus, is not rooted in himself. He doesn't say, Jesus, I love you, and look at what I've done. There's the evidence. Peter couldn't do that. If he pointed to what he had done, what could he point to? He points to a denial of Jesus. But instead, Peter says to Jesus, Thou knowest. You know that I love you. Jesus knows that Peter loves him because Jesus himself had put his love in the heart of Peter. That's the beauty of Peter's answer here. He doesn't ground it in himself and the things that he has done. He doesn't say, Look at me. He says, Thou knowest, Jesus, because the love that's in his heart is the love of Jesus himself that Jesus has put there by his Spirit. And so that's the way we answer this morning too. Yes, Lord, we love you. Our love isn't perfect, but we love you. And you know, our love isn't perfect, but you know that we love you. Because you've given us the gift of that love. We've seen it in Jesus Christ. It lives in our hearts by His Spirit. Beloved, may that together be our answer this morning. Yes, Jesus, we love you. And we want our love for you to be better, to be higher, to grow. And may that be the answer of our office bearers, that above all else, they're rooted and guarded in their work in the love of Jesus Christ. And may that be on display through them and all of their work in our midst. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that in His love He paid for our sins. And we are also thankful that He has put that love in our hearts. May it be this love for Jesus that guides the office bearers in all of their work, so that they in their work would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that willingly, do that self-sacrificially, doing it for His glory and His honor. And so we pray, Father, that Thou wilt equip and strengthen these men for their work. But also, Father, may we together as a congregation then grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name do we pray all these things. Amen.